Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by It's For Women. You are not 9 to 5 and neither are we. Conveniently open online 365 days per year, 24 hours per day.
And we're back here. Now, he's one of our most treasured stage and screen actors. He's been an Anglo banker, a Dublin criminal, an Irish-American mobster, a diamond trade shyster, and he's been sleeping with a bad sister. This is his favourite one, I presume. Tal Gwil Galife Ege Freshen. And August Toshe on Shaw in Akalum. Good morning, Peter Coonan.
The Asmer with Oliver.
don't challenge me anymore than that. Yes, no, you're deserving of that intro. We are here this morning to discuss King Frankie, which is a new movie coming to cinemas next week. It is so intense. I'm still clenching this morning after watching it. And it's the story is a Celtic Tiger one. What was that period like for you, do you remember? 2004, 2008, I think. We haven't quite decided what the dates are.
Yeah, well, I was in college, so I don't remember a huge deal of it, to be frank. But I remember the grand living that people, the cars and the money that was splashing around. But I was too young to kind of notice it in my UCD bubble.
But you would have been emerging from college into this world, and the temptation surely would have been, oh, we'll just go into a world of finance and just hand you free money rather than the arts.
For me?
Yeah, yeah.
Jeez, I think my dad might have liked that when he told me to become an accountant at one point, but I don't think that was ever for me. I think I got dragged by the arts when I was younger and couldn't really let go of it.
You know? How many of you were in the family, or is it
just myself and my brother and my father?
And he became your brother became a lawyer.
Yeah, he was an actor for a stint in The Gate. He did a long stint of A Christmas Carol, and then after a while, one of the actors said to him, "Unless you can see yourself doing nothing else, don't do it." And he was studying law at the time, so I don't think he would have been able for the uncertainty of it all.
He's a lawyer. He's still an actor.
He's still an actor.
Better paid. Actor.
Yeah.
Get the dings
if
in.
You're listening, take the kudos.
That's Michael. He's supposed to be a very nice fella, by all accounts. Jesus, where's this going? Your dad was a school principal.
Yes, indeed.
In Sandymount somewhere?
Yeah,
was it?
Star of the Sea. Yeah, for 30 odd years.
Star of the Sea, yes, yeah. For a very long time. He's retired now, then.
He is, yeah. Good bit retired.
What a difference to have. One son is a lawyer, the other is the actor. Were there ever kind of discussions in the house going, now, come on, Peter, you have to get yourself a decent job?
Well, that was the idea originally with going to college, was to get a degree that I could fall back on, you know.
What did you do in college?
Many things, however, many things.
Doesn't sound like you did the degree.
A degree didn't fall my way in the end, but I ventured through history, politics, psychology, economics, information studies, Gaeilge, and drama sock and Xenom Keolag is Rudiella, you know what I mean? Bantanavas na hoja.
Can't even remember half of it. Ermeshka.
Well, Bantanavas. Bantanavas.
What was I going to say to you about that period? Oh, sorry, the film. Okay, the film Frankie. Yeah. You play Frankie. Is it 20? It's 2019, isn't it? In the fast forward bit, okay?
Yeah.
And there's a funeral there. And we jump back to 2008 or whenever it is. Well, 2009, obviously. It's like two different characters, isn't it? We open with later Frankie.
Yeah.
And that's just, geez, you look fierce haggard in that now. Yeah. I thought the budget must have gone in post-production. It's so young in the other version.
Yeah, they did it very well. I mean, I don't know how they did it, to be frank. But excuse the pun, but
terrible.
Yeah, but no, it was a joy to play the two roles. It was a real challenge at the time to inhabit the two of them. But the real Frankie, you know, the juxtaposition between the two, and thankfully we shot them separately. But I suppose the story is one of redemption. I mean, we find that the later Frankie dealing with his father's death and with the outcome of the fallout of what happened 10 years previously, and he's still carrying on to some of the trauma of that of those events, and the younger Frankie, of course, was living the high life and flew too close to the sun and got too greedy and kind of lost the meaning of what life was about.
Because older Frankie seems like kind of a nice guy. He's sound. He's driving. He's doing his taxi business. He's helping people and so on.
Yeah.
And then we cut back to young Frankie.
Yeah.
And what's happening in that universe?
In young Frankie's universe, I think that we catch him at the point that his daughter's 8th birthday, and he is clutching on to some of the businesses that they're about to fall asunder, and he is he's clutching on, and essentially everything's about to fall asunder around him, and he doesn't realise it. And he's just got caught up in the whirlwind, which was success, whatever that That's meant right. at the time.
It's a very lavish eighth birthday party for a little girl.
Yeah.
And the guys, I play them at the start of the show, come in and... The clip on its own, actually, I thought, is kind of funny. Mm. But when you watch the film, I mean, it's anything but.
Yeah, they did a great job, but it is quite skin-crawling to listen to how people spoke back then.
And yet it was really entertaining. I got excited every time we went back to the Celtic Tiger.
Oh, did you? Yeah, okay, good.
Until it starts, obviously, Frankie is very het up and stressed.
Yeah. It's all coming to a boiling point, isn't it, by the end of it?
Yeah.
But I think it's good to see a story like that now. And I think the main objective of the story is the idea of the redemption of older Frankie, who...
And that's not a spoiler because it's quite unexpected.
Yeah.
The level of it or the way
I suppose it's the idea of like getting a second chance and that everyone deserves such...
Very non-judgmental look at the Celtic Tiger.
Yes, I suppose it is, yeah.
I don't think we feel like that just yet, but anyway.
No.
Frankie's different. There's a portrayal quite early on of a panic attack, basically, an anxiety, which would just give a sense of people how claustrophobic and intense and why I'm still clenching after this. You must have been wrecked after playing these, I call them two characters, but it's the one character, Frankie, because portraying a panic attack, it's you feel like we're having one watching it.
Yeah. It can be quite full on. But I think that it was a period of work where I had a lot of work in a row at that time. I did some stage productions and then I did that film. I did another film subsequently after. I was in quite an intense period of work. Hmm. So shooting the second half of that at home in Dublin was quite daunting. I mean, you just get into bed after when you got home. But I mean, you're living the character and you're trying to understand someone who is dealing with all this guilt and all this shame and all this pent up trauma that hasn't been dealt with. And then once your past comes to visit you or something happens, that just ignites it all again. And it culminates in this moment of sheer panic.
What struck me is that we seem to be much more fluent in the language around mental health, particularly men's mental health and the issues of anxiety, depression and sadly suicide, which we didn't have in the period of the Celtic Tiger, which is extraordinary when the crash comes because that was a huge realistic problem. That was a real problem for a lot of people. That's something that's kind of dear to you, isn't it? I think
Yeah, well, I think, one thing we take from this is that the idea that when something happens and you do hit rock bottom or, everything around you is seemingly falling apart and you have no one to talk to, I think what the story is saying in some parts is that there is always a chance of redemption. There was always a chance of a second chance. There is always this opportunity to grow and to share your feelings with others. And I think definitely with men and certainly in Ireland, we just do not talk openly enough about where we're at or what struggles we may be having. And I think if a small, percentage of people watch a film like this and realise that there is light at the end of the tunnel, that would be a positive outcome.
For sure. A big question, but it's very relevant to this. Does a boy recover from the death of his mother? Because you were very young, weren't you, when you lost your mum?
Yeah, I was, yeah. Does a boy recover from the death of his mother? I don't think so, to be perfectly honest.
Yeah.
But I think, like anything, you learn to live with it and you what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. But also, I think you become more able to deal with adversities and challenges that come your way as you get older. But it doesn't leave you, but it certainly allows you to help others who go through something similar.
Particularly because you end up in a house, don't you, with just fellas, the two boys and the dad. Were you 12 or something like that?
Yeah,
at the time?
12,
again, it's a time where we don't have this sort of vernacular around grief and
yeah, for sure. It's a different time. Yeah, it comes back later in life then and you have to deal with it in a different way. But we're blessed at the moment to have all the facilities and awareness and knowledge around trauma and how we deal with it. And like the breath work at the moment is so prevalent and such an aid for people to deal with their struggles.
It comes back when you're an adult.
Yeah, I think so. The idea, our traumas come back and revisit us when we're that little bit older and we're grown, and especially when we have kids. Mm. And then, you know, because we carry a lot of trauma in our bodies, and then we have to begin to try and breathe and to release a lot of the traumas that are still there. And I think a lot of people are doing a lot of incredible work at the moment in regards to breath work and mindfulness and meditation and everything else. So I think we're in a perfect spot where we can begin to kind of heal together.
And becoming a dad, I presume, it was a huge moment in that context for you.
Yeah, very much so, yeah.
You've got three kids, do you?
I've got three kids, yeah, three girls, yeah.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah, so, yeah, you begin to see them grow and, like, getting closer to the age. My eldest now is getting closer to the age that I was, you know, when I my mum passed. And
go away.
That becomes quite a different perspective, and you kind of, you see her differently and you see everything around it differently, and you see the how young you were, you know what I mean? And that's how the circle of life works.
What do they think of their dad and his acting?
Well, my daughter actually played my daughter in the movie, so.
Oh, right.
But they don't think much of it. They just think I'm a dude who hangs around in shorts most of the year and goes off here and there and then comes back.
She plays the very unimpressed daughter.
Very unimpressed daughter.
This lavish birthday party.
It wasn't a hard part for her to play, but actually.
Your mum was Betty. Did you name any of the kids, or are they?
My eldest is Beth.
Ah, lovely.
A name I always loved. And then Katie, my middle daughter, was my mother's favourite name, actually. And then my youngest is Mia, who was my wife's grandmother.
God, you've lived a life. The house of boys is now a house of girls.
Yeah, I know, yeah. Full circle.
Yeah, you must talk about your mum to the girls.
I do a lot, yeah. It was, my eldest was asking quite a lot about a year ago about her and what happened to her, you know. Yeah. And I remember she was asking me about death. I mean, this is lovely chat for a Tuesday morning. But she was asking me, what happens when you die? And I was like, well, Jesus, okay. I said, well, you get enveloped with the biggest hug and warmth that you've ever experienced. And that, to me, is what happens.
What an extraordinary answer.
Yeah. So, I don't know. But then we've talked about her openly, and her pictures are everywhere. And I was only telling my daughter today that if she wanted, she could talk to her. Do you know what I mean? If you wanted, you could have a chat with her. You mightn't hear back, you know,
yeah,
in the realms of the real world, but you might feel something. So I think that's something to go by.
You're good at that. But she was asking the right man.
Yeah.
For sure. Look, we've lots of other things to talk about. The director, actually, I mean to mention, this is his first film, isn't it?
Yes, Dermot, yeah.
And he has first-hand experience, I think, of the Celtic Tiger as well. So did you all kind of talk about this period when you were making the film, or did it emerge?
Yeah, we did. We spoke. I didn't want to press too much about his experience within it, but, you know, I got a general understanding as to what his connection was to it and why he was making this film and why now. I mean, that was the most important thing when we met initially. But the main collaborative nature with myself and Dermot was that he was very open to me having ideas around the character and also how we might develop the characters, you know, and how they might work in that on the day that we can make things, keep them alive and try and, you know, keep it buoyant within, especially within the earlier Frankie, you know, because that was very energetic. And yeah. But the challenge was the second part for me initially anyway, because I hadn't done something so still before, you know.
Something so still.
So still. You know, normally I'd done stuff. The first guy was very energetic. I'd done a lot of characters like that.
Yes. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But the second one was more grounded in stillness and more grounded in
his expressions.
And yes, and closer to what, you know.
Yeah. But you do have some experience in Celtic because you played David Drummond.
I did. That was a long time ago.
Former Anglo banker who ended up going to prison. That was Colin Murphy's that The was. Guarantee. Great, yeah. Great rendering of that story.
Yeah.
You've done lots of things. You were in Peaky Blinders as well. That's how I mentioned the Irish-American mobster.
Yeah.
The Diamond Shyster is his essence.
Yeah, I got that.
And of course, the Dublin Criminal is Fran, Love Hate.
What was that?
Fran, Love Hate,
oh, right,
Dublin Crim, yeah. I mentioned in the intro, which follows you. That follows you a lot, I'd say, does it? Are you sick and tired of Fran?
Not at all. Not at all. It's a very, I mean, it was an amazing show to be part of. And people still, they catch the voice, maybe not by when they see me, but certainly when they hear the voice, they immediately are like,
yeah, because you look totally different.
Yeah.
That was a dark place to inhabit. 24 episodes It's also 2011. It's somewhat related to what we're talking about because it's the crash period.
Well, it was a product of it, I think. Yeah, it was a direct response, Stuart, to that time, definitely. It was a dark place to inhabit. I would imagine if I did it now, I would find it more challenging to do.
Really?
Okay. Because at that time, like in my 20s, I was a bit more carefree and, you know, the writing was so good, was so visceral that, you know, all you had to do was kind of nearly learn it and just like build a character, but just give it socks or give it welly. Whereas now, if I had to inhabit someone as dark as that, you know, it might have a greater effect on you. But when you're younger, you just kind of, because you're enjoying the excitement of it all. And it was the first big gig I had and everyone was at the top of their game and it was a lot of fun as well. So you didn't really overthink it.
Yeah, the fun bit, I'll come back to you in a second because I want to play a clip of which people remember because the catchphrases of Fran became very, very famous. And it was almost too entertaining in ways, wasn't it? It's a very short, people will remember the catchphrase. It'll bring him right back.
We're true. What do you need to attract attention for?
Relax. We're true. Cooler, booler. Happy days.
It's a short one. That's yourself. That's Fran and Nidge going after getting past a checkpoint.
Oh, yeah.
Was it nearly too much crack, considering the darkness of the character and that world, which has now really, you know, affected every corner of Ireland in terms of drug crime?
I don't think it was too much crack. I think we were aware of what we were doing, but I think that, I think also as well, I remember speaking to Claire Dunn about this when we worked together and she obviously worked on Kin.
Yes.
But we spoke about when you're doing very dark and heavy stuff, sometimes you actually need to allow the light in. Because if you go and try and drudge all, you know, to the depth of the darkness,
it's unwatchable for us.
It's unwatchable. And it's the experience of it isn't any fun. And it's too much. And everyone's trying to get the darkness out of it. But if you actually go in with a bit of humour into the darkness, then it can be more bearable.
And there are funny moments, actually, in King Frank, we should say as well.
Yeah, they are,
including at the, it's the kind of the wake, isn't it, where, we have a clip of that here as well.
Fantastic.
Which is the old lady with the glasses who was just... Was delivering clangor after clangor.
I thought you were a taxi driver.
Yeah, I am. Yeah.
He's a fleet of taxis now, Stella.
Well, it's a couple of cars, ma'am. Entirely a fleet.
It's more than I have, anyway. Mind you, you must have a couple of cars left over. Did the banks let you keep any of your own cars that time?
No.
Frankie was the one who lost all his money at the crash.
Jesus.
She, you've lost all the money just announcing into the room and it's about getting the house and everything like that. Yeah, yeah. The light relief is important.
Big time, you need it. Yeah. Subtle as a sledgehammer.
The young guy who's very important towards the ending, he's related to the director.
Yes.
Okay.
His brother.
He's a Nun Malone.
Yeah, Rob.
Rob Malone. Very good performances from anyone. Yeah. And we should mention your wife as well, who is the kind of voice of reason.
Olivia.
Frankie's wife.
Yeah.
Listen, the range of success and so on in the job that you chose is enormous. You know, it goes all the way up to Hollywood where you can find fame and loneliness in equal measure. Have you
fame and loneliness, did you say?
I think so. I thought I'd slip it in without you noticing. Yeah. But have you achieved all you set out to achieve so far? You're still a young man, obviously.
Yeah. Have I achieved? I'm very proud of what I have achieved so far, 100%. I would just like to keep on working and keep challenging myself. And I do have ambitions to do work both in Ireland and outside of Ireland. But for now, I'm just kind of happy where I am and hoping that knowing that the opportunities will come.
Yeah, and just and the bank of work is there.
Yeah, and that's exactly that. Yeah. And that's just keep doing what I'm doing.
Because I asked, because we had Marty Ray in recently, brilliant stage actor, and he's on top of his game in the house, the Druid thing in the Gaiety Theatre. And he's very contented life as being a kind of a stalwart of the stage in Ireland. And it's nice to see, isn't it, sometimes?
Yeah, and I've said it to him before when we worked together. I've asked him, like, would he have any aspirations? Because, like, he's like the Irish Mark Rylance, you know?
Yes,
and
yes,
I'm
exactly,
like, you could have such a, you know, thriving career in your...
Do a Marvel.
...your 40s. Yeah, do a Marvel, Marty. Do a Marvel.
It's not acting.
But he doesn't. He's just, you know, and because he said to me at one point, he said, you know, I could be working on scripts that aren't essentially ready or, you know, or else I could be doing Murphy and Sing and MacPherson or Shakespeare. So, you know,
These are the choices you have to make in that world.
Yeah.
I want to throw this question at you. I love listening to Peter says his text. Any advice for my son who's graduated from the Gaiety School of Acting after 2 years? Asks Viv. This will be quick, I'd say.
Just keep doing what you're doing. But I did. Someone asked me recently about for advice for a young actor who was coming out of school, and they wanted to get into a course that they didn't get into. And at the time, it was a former teacher of mine, and I said, "Do you know what wouldn't be a bad idea for actors? Would be to get a trade. Do you know, if I was going back, I'd learn a trade. I'd become a sparks or a carpenter or a plumber." And then I'd go out into the acting world. Keep watching acting.
Spark is a nice, clean job. Yeah. Well paid.
And keep watching films. Keep going to theatre. Keep reading plays with your friends. Keep that alive. But then when you're 21, 22, you have this job that you can do anywhere in the world.
Advice on career, advice on grief from Peter Coonan. King Frankie is in the cinemas next week, Friday, October the 11th. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Thank you so much,
Peter Coonan. And actually, I want to leave on this message. It's spooky. When my father passed away, my best friend, mentor, champion, all-round great crack, I dreamt I was dying. I was enveloped in a warm, gentle hug with no sensation of fear. That's the first time I've heard that expressed since that dream. This is a listener in West Cork. Peter Coonan, thank you so much. Back after these.